Let's look at John chapter 8 and verse number 44. Jesus gives us an insight into our adversary, the devil. And he says these words, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Now, he's not talking to us. He was talking to those who did not believe in him and told him that he had been born of fornication. Verse 41, they refused to trust in Christ as their Messiah, Lord and Savior. He said to them, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So you got some insights into the devil there. He's full of lust, he's a murderer, and he's a liar. And for those of you that are new, we're doing a course on prophecy, trying not to be sensational, but more doctrinal. And we've had quite a few lessons so far, and they're not necessarily in order, just different subjects coming to my mind that I want to share. But tonight I want to talk about deceivers, disasters, and delusions. Deceivers, disasters, and delusions, and how these are all prophesied to take place in the last days. And hopefully at the end, it might not make sense what I'm saying for a while here tonight. Hopefully at the end, I want to wrap the three together and show you how I believe this is being fulfilled in our day and age, that this is a day of deceivers, a day of disasters, and a day of delusions. And these three actually connect. But please keep in mind all night that the devil is a liar. The Bible says there's going to be a lot of lying going on in the last days. A lot of lying going on, a lot of deceiving. That's about synonymous. And that is the spirit of Antichrist. Notice he is a liar. Later on, the same author, John, would say in 2 John, verse number 7, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." So he says that there's a lot of deceivers in the world, and they are deceivers and antichrist, a lot of liars. There's a lot of liars that are going on in this dispensation, these last days, which have lasted the last 2,000 years, but are coming to a head now. And then in 1 John 4 and verses 1 through 6, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And so there is going to be a spirit of truth in the world, and simultaneously a spirit of error. And this is going to happen in the last days. This spirit of error is called the spirit of Antichrist, that denies Christ. And we are warned in verse 1, "Believe not every spirit." Believe not every spirit. It is amazing how many people just believe whatever they're told in this world, because it's on the television, or it's on the news, or it's in the newspaper. And whatever that spirit is, that spirit of Antichrist, that spirit of error, they just believe it. So the last days are going to be filled with days of deceivers who are going to spread a spirit of error. This word error means deception or delusion. There is a lying Satan who fills the world with a lying spirit, a spirit of error. Now, Satan's lies are not little fibs. They are extremely deep and well thought out. There have been volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of books written to propagate his lies in the areas of religion, politics, and science. The devil has chosen some of the finest in the fields of academia as his authors, just as God chose human authors to write the Bible, so Satan has chosen human authors to write volumes and volumes and volumes of books spreading his lies. For instance, books on evolution. Evolution is a pseudo-scientific theory that's very, very young in comparison to human history. It's about 150 years old. He's also used many human authors to write books on religion and books on humanism. Right up here in Amherst, we have the Prometheus books and the authors of the Humanist Manifestos 1 and Humanist Manifestos 2. Even infamous people in the past like Charles Darwin and Adolf Hitler have been used to write books that have literally deceived millions and millions and millions of people based on lies. Evolution's missing links are still missing. According to their theory of natural selection and macroevolution and everything you see living, according to this theory, everything, when you go out and you see the fields of grass and the mountains and the hillsides filled with trees and the skies filled with birds and the oceans filled with fish and other kinds of creatures and the land filled with all kinds of different animals and humans and so on and so forth, according to their theory, all of that life went back to one little cell that once existed, that somehow came into existence just miraculously, this extremely complex little cell, and it just decided one day, I'm going to divide and become two selves. And then it decided it would divide again and become four selves. And then it divided again and it became eight selves. This is the theory of macroevolution. And then it continued to divide and divide and divide and all this division, the cells in this slime or muck or primordial soup or something. Some of them decided to become fish. Some decided we're climbing out of here. We're going to develop wings and start flying. And others decided we're going to become this type of an animal, this type of an ape, and eventually a human, and eventually some male, some female of all different kinds that would be compatible with each other to reproduce. And you know, a tomato and a banana tree and a human and a duck all came from the same cell. And this pseudoscience has been so developed and so written on and so taught for decades and decades and decades that there are just volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of books now. See, his lies aren't little fibs. They're extremely advanced. And people believe them. And their own theory would demand that there must be millions and millions and millions of transitional forms in the fossil record. Their own theory demands that. But there aren't. There aren't any lakes in the fossil record. They're all the same. Trilobites are all trilobites, and fish are all fish, and ducks are all ducks. And there's nothing that's a half a duck and a half a fish. But according to their theory, there ought to be millions and millions. That's all they have to do to get me to be a believer in evolution. That's all they have to do. Just show me millions and millions and millions and millions of transitional forms in the fossil record, because that's what their theory demands. Just show me millions of them. Don't show me one or two that they think, you know, might kind of look transitional. I want to see millions of them. Because that's what their own theory demands. See, the Bible says there's going to be a lot of deceivers in the last days. And we see that, for instance, in evolution. There is very little in the evolutionary theory that explains the scientific fact of symbiosis. Symbiosis, of course, is science, and we're not afraid of true science. We're not afraid of it at all. We love real science. And symbiosis is true science, where organisms are often mutually dependent upon each other for their existence. For example, in order for you to exist, there must be millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of friendly bacteria in your stomach. You couldn't exist without it. And that's just one example of thousands and thousands and thousands of examples of symbiosis, where organisms, living organisms, are mutually dependent on each other to exist. And so that fosters a question in my mind and our minds: what evolved first, the human or the bacteria? The bacteria needed the human to exist. The human needed the bacteria to exist. Bees. You're worried about the bees this summer. Bees pollinate over 90 different types of plants. A lot of the fruits we have, we'd never have if there wasn't bees. Trees must cross-pollinate. One cherry tree cannot exist by itself. There's got to be another one nearby to cross-pollinate. And on and on. There are just thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of examples of symbiosis. It's everywhere. Trees give off whatever it is, carbon dioxide, and we, whatever, or vice versa, oxygen, and we give off carbon dioxide and so on. And without them, see, the only explanation that I think is scientifically acceptable is that they all had to appear at once. It all had to appear at once. It could not have evolved over millions and millions and millions of years. I don't know how that first little cell, however it came about according to the theory, even survived. How did it survive? Now, we're not the only ones that have to deal with this. 1900 years ago or more, the Apostle Paul said to a young preacher, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, he says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called." And so Timothy also had to deal with oppositions of science falsely. Just because something is presented as science doesn't mean it's scientific. And I don't think you and I ought to have a fear of those who claim to be scientific or an inferiority complex towards them. This word opposition is Greek word antithesis, which means the opposite. In 2 Timothy 3, and I think we looked at this last week, in verse 13 it says this about the last days. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so first of all, we established tonight that in the last days there's going to be a lot of deceivers. There's going to be a lot of deceivers. Remember that. Number one, there's going to be a lot of deceivers in the last days. In all realms, not just the scientific realm, but in the religious realm, in the political realm, a lot of deceivers. And number two, the Bible says in the last days there's going to be a lot of disasters. A lot of disasters. I believe Jesus is indicating when he taught about that there'll be more than usual. There's always been disasters. But I believe he's indicating here there'll be more than usual as the last days culminate. In Matthew 24 and verse 7, he said, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Diverse means many places are going to see earthquakes. Many places are going to see pestilences, that's fatal diseases that spread. And many places are going to see famines. And so we see disasters in the last days. This is expanded a little in Luke when he also talked about the last days. He said, beginning in verse 11 of chapter 21, "And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven." Verse 25, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." A little sidelight here, but it seems like 26, verse 26 here is describing television. It says, "Men's hearts will be failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth." Boy, I'll tell you what, you watch the nightly news every night, and you're going to live in fear. Especially the world news. Boy, you'd think the world was just coming apart every night. And there are people who are just full of fear nowadays, watching the television, reading the newspapers. But the Bible does say things here about famines, pestilences, earthquakes, the sea, and the waves roaring, all in the latter days. Jeremiah talked about the latter days. He talked about whirlwinds in the latter days. In Jeremiah 23:19, he said this, "Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly." Now notice, the origin of these whirlwinds is the Lord. The origin of these earthquakes and famines and pestilences is the Lord. The origin of these seas and these waves roaring is the Lord. He is the origin. Why? He's trying to get our attention. He's punishing us. He's chastising us. You know why? Because he's good. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He's trying to get people's attention. Jeremiah 30, he continues to talk about whirlwinds and why they come. In verse 23 through 24, he says, "Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days he shall consider it." So notice these natural disasters, we are supposed to consider, not ignore, but consider them in the latter days. what is God doing? I know it was a couple, I don't know if it was last year or a couple years ago, they had the two largest hurricanes. The Bible word for hurricane is whirlwind. That's the Bible word for hurricane. It's a whirlwind. And it says, in the latter days, consider it. It's because of the fury of the Lord. Why? God's mad. That's what it means. God is mad at the way people are behaving on earth. And so he uses natural disasters, or what we call natural, I think these were more like supernatural disasters, to chasten mankind. Why? To get him to repent. To get him to repent. And I think those two, a couple years ago, were the two largest ever in human history. And I don't know. I suppose more will be coming. I'm not sure. But we'll see. And Jeremiah 25 and verse 31, he says this, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. So I think we haven't seen anything yet. Just precursors. But there are going to be disasters. That's my second point tonight. There are going to be disasters. And besides these disasters, such as earthquakes, pestilence, famine, the seas roaring, and the whirlwind, it says in Jeremiah 50 and verse 38, a drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. So because of idolatry and because of graven images, the Bible says God sends droughts. God sends droughts. Now, there's an interesting insight about droughts. When you get to the book of Haggai, chapter 1 and verse 11, and I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. I wanted to read that verse because it says this, and I called for a drought upon the land. I called for a drought upon the land. Now, why does God do all these things? To get our attention. To get our attention. Most of us here tonight know and maybe can even quote by memory probably the most famous verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. But the verse right before that says this, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence upon my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, etc. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, if I send natural disasters into your land, I'm trying to get your attention. It's time for you to humble yourselves, pray, seek your face, seek my face, turn from your specific wicked ways. And I'll hear from heaven and will heal their land. And so second of all, we see that there are going to be disasters in the last day, natural disasters. And what does God want us to see through these disasters? He wants us to see Him. He wants us to see Him in the latter days. Now, I'll get to my last point, but let me ask you this. If you were the devil then, and you knew the scriptures, what would you do to avoid this effect from taking place on the earth? If I were the devil, I would spread a lie all over the world that would be based on pseudoscience that would explain all of this so we wouldn't look to God. A few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, we began to hear something called man-made global warming. Man-made global warming. Now, we believe in global warming. We believe it's cyclical. It runs in cycles. We believe that can be proven scientifically with research and facts. Back in the 1930s, it was so hot they called it the Dust Bowl. Four of the hottest years in human history out of the top 10 were in the 1930s. The hottest year ever was in 1934. And I brought a message. I don't have time to develop all this, but if you can go to our website or we can get you a CD on Sunday night, September the 2nd, of this year, 2007, I did a message, an entire message on global warming. We believe in global warming. We just believe it's cyclical. We believe the Earth warms, the Earth cools, the Earth warms, the Earth cools, the Earth warms. So on, back in the 1970s, and I gave you the research in that message, where I quoted source after source after source after source, where the scientists were saying that the next ice age is coming, 1970s. But now we have this thing called man-made global warming. It has been trumpeted and championed by men like Al Gore, who has made a movie called An Inconvenient Truth. This Inconvenient Truth movie is being shown to children all over the world, not just in America. And it is telling children that all of the disasters that we see today happening are because of man-made global warming. Last week he received the Nobel Peace Prize for that. There was one judge in Britain, thank God for him. One judge in Britain has determined, I don't know what this judge is over, what part of Britain, but he has determined that before any children in his, wherever he governs in England, can watch that movie, they must have a disclaimer before the movie of 11 different lies that are in that movie. And that judge has ruled, before you show this to kids under my jurisdiction, you're going to tell them there's at least 11 different lies in this movie before they watch it. But this thing is spreading. I've kept my eyes on it. Yesterday, October 23rd, 2007, CNN reported that global warming, man-made, I got to keep saying that, man-made global warming will cause a century of forest fires. Last Friday, October the 19th, or also it was October the 20th, there was a picture in the Buffalo News with a corresponding article that I looked to that showed a tidal wave hitting a Buddhist temple of water, hitting a Buddhist temple in, I think, Indonesia. And the article was about how man-made global warming is causing all of these tidal waves. Back when we had the hurricane season a couple years ago that was so devastating, there were scientists who actually said these hurricanes are caused by man-made global warming. We have them trying to explain the droughts and perhaps in the future a little famine maybe in that area in Georgia and North Carolina. That is based on what scientists are calling man-made global warming. We've heard of the fires in the last few days in San Diego. They're saying that that is caused by man-made global warming. Now, you see what's happening here? This is what we call number three, delusion. Delusion. Pseudoscience. that is explaining away the events that God is bringing on this earth to try to get our attention. That's pretty masterful from the devil. But remember, he is a liar. He is the father of lies. He is the one who uses oppositions of science falsely so called. And so there are very, very few people. Now, I do have to give credit to the governor of Georgia who a couple of weeks ago asked the people of the state of Georgia, let's pray to God for rain. We thank the Lord for one man in Britain and one man in Georgia who are saying, wait a minute. But this thing about man-made global warming is, I believe it's pseudoscience, but it is huge and it's growing larger every day. And people and young people and children and even adults are buying into it. And what's their conclusion? Oh, that explains it. That explains the hurricanes and the droughts and the fires and the floods and the tsunamis and the whirlwinds and that explains it all. And what does that keep them from? Keeps them from repenting. Keeps them from turning to God and saying, you know, folks, maybe God's trying to get our attention here. Now, if you were the devil, wouldn't you do something like that? If you were trying to get, if you knew the scriptures, and he's had a long time to study these scriptures. He even used the scriptures on Jesus when he was tempting Jesus. He's not afraid of the scriptures. He's had a long time to study it. You know, the devil's looked at the prophecies of the last days and he said, you know, there's going to be famines and earthquakes and pestilence. The sea's going to be roaring. Waves are going to be flooding. There's going to be droughts and famines and so on and so forth. And these are all signs that God gave man to see that Jesus Christ is coming back again. So I better come up with something delusional. Something delusional. Sometimes I wonder if that's maybe what God meant. He talked about the last days, and he talked about Satan with all of his lying wonders. And he said these words in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I wonder if God has so given up on this earth that he has just stepped back and said, let them believe the lie. Let them believe the lie. You know, the Bible tells us in closing, there is a time when God gives up on man. Back before the flood, he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I'm not going to fight with you forever, God says. And so he sent a flood and ended it all. He says, I'm going to give you about 120 years to get right with me. He said, I'm not going to fight with you all the time. And the Bible says that there are times when God gives up on man. And he tells us exactly when that is. And it's listed in Romans chapter 1. It says, beginning in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, was blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. That means they told damaging lies about each other. They spoke slander. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, incapable of being satisfied, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It tells us when God gives up on people. Now, I personally believe, and this is my opinion, but I believe Romans 1 is a description of what people were like before the flood. And I believe it's recorded in Romans 1. That's just my opinion. Just so we would know, when is it that God gives up on people? When does God give up on people? When does God give them over to a reprobate mind? It tells us when they start behaving like this. God gives them up. And the Bible talks about how God is going to send them strong delusion. Right after he introduces the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians, he who is a liar, whose working shall be after the working of Satan with lying and all deceivableness. Talked about deceivers, disasters, and then delusions. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I don't know how people believe this lie about global warming, but they believe it hook, line, and sinker. I don't know how they buy evolution, but they sure do. They can't explain it, but they buy it and everything. And here God is doing all these things to the earth, all these natural disasters to the earth, trying to get people to repent. And we just have it explained away. Oh, it's just man-made global warming. Don't worry about it. We'll just get some vehicles made that won't burn and give off so many CO2 emissions, and we're going to solve this thing. So don't you all worry about it now. Now, I'd be worried about it, especially if I was unsaved. I'd get saved in a hurry. I'd say, boy, everything Jesus said is coming to pass in our days. Isaiah 66:4, and I'll close with this. It says, and I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. God said, I call, they didn't answer. I spake, they didn't hear. So I'm going to be the one that chooses their delusions. I'm going to give them over to a reprobate mind. They're going to live in a world of strong delusion. They're going to believe a lie. Why? So they can all be damned. Who had pleasure in unrighteousness and rejected the truth, Jesus Christ. I tried to tie these three together in prophecy tonight. There'll be deceivers, liars, deceiving and being deceived, getting worse and worse. There'll be disasters. And then there'll be delusions. And the delusions will be the lies and deceptions that explain away the disasters and keep people from repenting. I hope you don't buy into that. I hope you'll repent. I hope I'll repent sincerely and say, dear God, forgive us. We're getting what we deserve all over the world. And God, the psalmist said, God is known by the judgments which he executes. It's God loving this earth that causes them to do these things. Saying, turn to me. Turn to me. But it's the deceiver, the Antichrist, Satan, the father of lies, who says, nah, don't worry about God and what he said. It's man-made global warming. Don't fear. We'll get over this. We'll get through this. We'll get through this. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we pray for your help. Lord, We seem to live even in a day where believers aren't affected by your word. But Lord, you'll look to the person who trembles at your word. And we pray that it would strike the fear of God in us, that we would up our prayer lives, up our soul-winning efforts, up our fear of God. These things aren't coincidences, Lord. They were explained in your word that you would use natural disasters to try to get our attention, to get us on our knees to repent, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways. But Father, Satan is a liar, the father of lies, and he's birthed so many lies, even scientific ones, that just explain this away so people won't fear you. And this man-made global warming is one of them. Lord, help us. Oh God, help us not to be deceived. Open our eyes and our hearts wide open these last days so we'll see our signs. We'll get busy working for thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.